Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We see car accidents almost every day on the roads, fender benders or totaled vehicles with injuries. Well, the legal maze can be extensive and expensive. So what do you do if you're in an accident? And when do you call a lawyer? Well, joining me tonight for our new Ask the Lawyer segment is attorney Andy Betterman of Greenberg and Betterman. We're taking your calls about car accidents. So lines are open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Certainly you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Andy, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
I want to read a couple of statistics to you and see if these kind of ring a bell, because I was actually rather surprised. Tailgating is the contributing factor in more than one third of all crashes on the road. The highest risk group are new drivers during their first year, and certain driver performance errors, including right of way, improper braking, and those kinds of things, really increase the risk of crashes by hundreds of times. Any of that sound familiar to you?
Yes, it does. The most common auto accidents we see involve rear end collisions, which generally result from following too closely, and intersectional collisions, which obviously result from people doing the wrong thing in an intersection, generally running a light or running a stop sign or a yield sign. So, yes, it's very common.
I want to ask you some questions because we're going to get a lot of phone calls and we're going to take as many as we can, but I have some of my own. The first one is, when do you know to hire a lawyer?
That's an excellent question. In my law firm, we get calls from thousands of people, and over the last 30 years, tens of thousands of people who have been involved in car accidents. And our basic rule for whether we take a case or not is whether the victim is injured, and injured to such an extent that he or she requires an ongoing course of medical treatment. So my advice to the public is, if you have an accident and you just go to your doctor once, or you go to the hospital once, you probably don't need a lawyer to help you. But if your injury is more involved and your medical course is more involved, then you probably should have legal representation.
Mm-hmm. So here's a scenario, because we talked about rear impact accidents. So if I'm driving along, and this has actually happened to me, where somebody hits me in the rear of my car, and my car is damaged, but I am mobile and aware, and what should I do first?
At the accident scene, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first thing you ought to do is you ought to make sure you're okay and the other driver's okay, and if not, call 911. And the second thing you ought to do is make sure that you exchange with the other driver all the vitally important information you need: name, address, telephone numbers, driver's license, vehicle registration, and tag number, and then also his or her insurance company name and policy number. In the age of cell phones with cameras, it's pretty easy to photograph a lot of this information right there at the scene.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the things you need to do initially. And obviously, if you're hurt and you call 911, the police are going to come, and you need to cooperate with them, and an ambulance is going to come. And if the EMT suggests that you go to the hospital by ambulance, then you ought to do so.
Mm-hmm. If somebody says, look, can we handle this without calling the insurance, what do you suggest?
I think that's a bad idea. I really do. And when people suggest that, and my clients tell me about it, I tell them you should never, ever do that. Because every motorist has to have auto insurance, right? And there are people that don't, which is why you have uninsured motorist coverage. But it's easier to deal with an insurance carrier, and the insurance carrier is going to be much, much more reliable than someone who privately promises you at the scene that they're going to pay your damages. because I've seen in too many cases where that's promised, it doesn't come to pass.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned something about everyone, you know, these days having a smartphone and taking pictures and sending that information to the insurer. But people often are very, I would call it, social media happy, and they post the damage from their vehicle on social media probably faster than they would send it to their insurance company. Your thoughts about that?
And social media is evidence, and we tell our clients when they hire us, we have them sign a document with some social media instructions that basically say that you really shouldn't in any way discuss what's happened to you on social media, because the things that you say ultimately, should a lawsuit be filed, will become evidence that could be heard by a judge or a jury.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not truthful, or you tend to exaggerate, or whatever, it could come back to haunt you.
Yeah, sounds like it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to attorney Andy Betterman of Greenberg and Betterman. This is our new Ask the Lawyer segment. If you have a question tonight about car accidents or vehicle accidents that you've been in, or have any concern or advice that you're looking for ahead of what sometimes may be considered inevitable, that we all in one way, shape, or form may get into a little fender bender here or there, give us a call. The lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let me go to Dana. Dana's calling from Seattle, Washington. Hey, Dana, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello there. Hi. I just was in a car accident 2 days ago. I was on the freeway, and the driver behind me rear-ended me because they're on their phone. My car hit the car in front of me, and I just don't know. I mean, I went to the hospital after, and I'm just not sure when to call or if to call a lawyer or what to do. I've never been in a situation like this.
Okay. So you went to the hospital. Do you think you need additional medical care?
Yes, definitely. I mean, the past couple of days have been miserable. My neck and back have just been increasing.
Well, then I would suggest that that in a circumstance like that you do need counsel. You should hire a lawyer, and you ought to hire someone who, you know, someone in your area, Seattle, who has a good reputation. So you could ask family, friends, or the like. Mm-hmm. But I would think that if you have more than a minor injury that only requires one visit to a doctor or a hospital, that you ought to have counsel. What's happened with your car? Have you spoken to the other driver's insurance carrier?
Yes. So I reached out to them, and I'm waiting for them to call me back. But my car, I think it's totaled. I'm no expert, but the rear, when you drive it, it's like undrivable, basically.
Is it?
So I drove it home.
But yeah. Whether it's totaled or not is really a function of the law. The measure of property damages in an auto accident is that whoever is responsible is required to pay you the lesser of the market value or cost of repair. So if the cost of repair is less than the value, then the car is deemed to be fixable. If the value is less than the cost of repair, then the car is deemed to be a total loss. So even though you may think it's a total loss, it may very well not be in the eyes of the law, and hence the liability insurance carriers.
Okay. Dana, good luck to you. Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dana brought up an interesting point. My question is, if you're in a car accident and on the day that it happens, you're feeling fine, but then you wake up in the morning and you can't move or you're feeling in pain, what impact does that have on the case, whether it was your fault or someone else's fault?
Well, that generally has nothing to do with fault, but it has a lot to do with damages.
Okay.
All right. Fault is who caused the accident, and that's known because of how it occurred whenever, 24 hours beforehand. I've seen in my 41 years practicing law many cases in which clients are not hurt, or at least don't feel that they're hurt. They don't really experience any symptoms immediately, but within 24 or 48 hours they do. And what is the effect of that on your case? I mean, obviously, if you go to the hospital by ambulance, right, there's going to be a clearer causal relationship between what happened and your injury. But simply because the the symptoms appear 24 or 48 hours later, that doesn't mean you don't have a case. Mm-hmm. It means that it took your body a while to react to the trauma and it's reacting now. What you need to do is go see your doctor and have your doctor examine you and tell you what's going on.
Okay. Sounds good. But would you suggest that, you know, if no matter what, no matter how you feel, should you go, ambulance or otherwise?
No, not at all. I mean, if you feel that you've been injured, mm-hmm. then get medical care. If you haven't felt any symptoms of injury yet, then don't get medical care.
Okay. Interesting. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Rhonda calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Rhonda. What's on your mind?
Hi. Yes, my name is Rhonda. So I want to know, I was in a car accident 3 years ago. Actually, it's coming up on the third year on Baltimore-Washington Parkway. So I went to therapy. I went to therapy for 4 months. I finished all my therapy and submitted my paperwork. Each time I call the person that's representing me, it's always, well, we can't find the other person. We can't find the other person. What should I do in this case? Because the person that's representing me keeps telling me it's nothing they can do it because everybody has to be paid out because it was a three-car, you know, pile-up. So they can't find the other person who hasn't finished treatment or who has finished treatment. So what do I do in this case?
I see. So your case arises from a multi-car accident in which
yeah.
many people were injured and in which one of the many injured either is not known or if known has not yet completed care, right?
Exactly.
Is that pretty much it? In the 3 year, this happened in Maryland or D.C.?
It happened, that's D.C. because it was
okay.
on BW, Baltimore-Washington
so,
Parkway, the D.C.
Right.
side.
So in D.C., there's a 3 year statute of limitations or time limit on civil claims for injury like yours. What that means is that you have 3 years from the date of the accident to either settle your case or file a lawsuit. If the three-year anniversary is rapidly approaching, then your attorney needs to file suit. Otherwise, you're going to be filing suit against him for not filing your case within the three-year time limit. Okay? And when is the three-year anniversary? You say 4 months?
It'll be up in July the 12th.
All right. Well, then you need to speak to your attorney. And if you can't get him or her on the phone, then you call and make an appointment to meet with him or her. And you need to ask your lawyer what he or she intends to do. Because 3 years after at the expiration of 3 years after the date of your accident, you're going to lose your claim unless you file the suit.
Okay. Rhonda,
so
thank you.
So are you saying you suggest that I do that immediately and he should be filing claim as we speak?
I didn't say that, yes and no. I think you need to contact your attorney immediately because July is just around the corner and see what the plans are for the preservation of your case.
Okay, thank you.
My pleasure.
Rhonda, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to attorney Andy Betterman of Greenberg and Betterman. This is our Ask the Lawyer segment. We're talking about accidents, personal injury, accidents related to your car, SUV, truck, and the like. If you have a question, give us a call. Let's go to Terry. Terry calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Terry. What's on your mind? Terry, are you there?
Hi.
Hi. Go right ahead.
Okay, my question is, my car was parked in D.C., Washington, D.C., and the truck that backed in or ran into the back of my car, I got the tag and the VIN number, filed a police report. The police gave me the insurance company. I contacted the insurance company. They're trying to say, oh, this VIN number doesn't belong to our insurer. I don't understand that. If the police did an investigation and they gave me the insurance company information, wouldn't that be legal? I don't understand. It seems like the insurance company is not trying to hold responsibility of repairing my car.
Okay, go right ahead.
Well, one thing you need to understand is that all liability insurers are in the business of keeping money rather than paying money to victims. Okay, so if they can find any reason whatsoever to not pay you, any peg to hang their hat on to avoid paying you, they will. That's number one. That's sort of the general background rule. Number two, accident reports are not always accurate, and the information that the Metropolitan Police get at accident scenes is always not reliable. So they gave you information which you've used to identify the owner and the insurance carrier for the vehicle that backed into you. But that insurance company is telling you the information is wrong, and they don't insure them. So your simplest recourse is to contact your insurance carrier. You won't be penalized because you're not at fault, and make an uninsured motorist property damage claim, right, for the damage to your vehicle. That's what you pay for, and that's the right that you have to make that claim. That's really your easiest recourse, because if you file a suit, you could do that in small claims court in Washington. The burden is on you to prove that the vehicle that you think backed into you did indeed do so. And based on what you're telling me, you're going to have difficulty doing that.
Sherry, thank you so much for your phone call. I need to take a break, but before I do, what's the web address for people who are interested in finding out more about you or your law firm?
Okay, my law firm, Greenberg & Betterman, has a web address as follows, gblawyers.com.
gblawyers.com?
Yes, Greenberg, G for Greenberg, B for Betterman, lawyers.com.
That's easy to remember, gblawyers.com. Lawyers.com. We'll be back in just a moment. If you're on the phone, please stay with us. We're going to talk to Sherry calling from College Park, Tony calling from Columbia. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back with this conversation in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are asking, what do you do if you're in a car accident? When do you call a lawyer? How does all of that work? Well, joining me tonight for our new Ask the Lawyer segment is attorney Andy Betterman of Greenberg & Betterman. And we're taking your calls about car and personal injury accidents. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phone lines, I want to talk a little bit about what is considered the proper car insurance for your car. How do you know? How do you pick it?
Well, every state has a minimum auto insurance coverage law, if you will, that sets forth the minimum coverage that you must have in order to get a car tagged and licensed and on the road. So, for instance, in the District of Columbia, it's liability coverage, which means if someone makes a claim against you, is minimum $25,000 per person, $50,000 per accident. Uninsured motorist coverage, because there are a lot of uninsured motorist drivers on the road, uninsured motorists on the road, is the same. Minimum $25,000 per person, maximum $50,000 per accident. So that's the minimum you have to buy to put your car on the road. I have learned during my 40-plus year career that minimum coverages simply are not enough, especially uninsured motorist coverage, because I have so many cases even now where people are horribly injured, catastrophically injured, and all that's available to them is a minimum liability coverage. And there's really nothing I can do for these folks. I mean, you could file a lawsuit against the other driver and get a judgment, but it's not worth the paper it's on. So the way to self-protect is to increase your uninsured motorist bodily injury coverage as high as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that do for you? Under most laws, and certainly the laws in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, the person that hurts you has liability coverage less than your uninsured motorist coverage. You can look to your insurance carrier for the difference at no penalty to you. So to give you an example, if you're seriously injured by a driver – in D.C. has got minimum coverage of 25, and your uninsured motorist coverage is $100,000, you can look to your insurance carrier for the difference of $75,000. So you've self-insured to that extent. Doesn't mean they're going to pay you, because it doesn't mean your case has that value, but at least it's there to you, available to you, should you need it.
Mm, okay. What would you say is just the most bizarre, crazy, or outrageous case that you have been involved in?
There have been many in my career.
I'm sure you said 41 years.
Right,
is a while.
Yeah. But one that stands out is a, I mean, it's just horrible circumstances. And there's a, it's on our website. There's a video on our Facebook page, Greenberg and Betterman LLC, about this case. There was a very notable case in Maryland involving a drunk driver who rear-ended a car at 90 miles an hour and killed a child, severely injured another child, and injured the grandparents who were driving. But this man had was drinking at a bar in Gaithersburg, had been there for many, many hours. Bottom line is he was served about 23 drinks, and then he was then the bar let him, the bar essentially allowed him to get in his car and drive away. And he did that, and on 270 South in Upper Montgomery County, he rear-ended this passenger vehicle. He served 8 years in prison for manslaughter, and we made a civil claim against against him, which was settled, and we made a claim against the bar.
The bar, yeah.
Which didn't go very far because under Maryland law, bars have no civil liability for damages should they overserve someone. And that's the case in D.C. and Virginia as well. And that's got to be the most horrible fact set that I've ever encountered. It was just a terrible, terrible case. Ultimately resolved on as favorable terms as it could, we took the case to the Maryland Court of Appeals to try to change the law, and we lost. But go to our website. There's a wonderful video about that that a friend of mine made that really will just touch your heart.
Something to think about for people who are drinking and driving as well. Great point. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tony calling from Columbia. Thanks for calling, Tony. What's on your mind?
I was rear-ended. This happened about 2 years ago.
Say 2 years?
Yes.
Okay.
And
go ahead, Tony.
I got an attorney. I went to the hospital by ambulance. I settled on something, but I never got my lost wages.
But your case is settled. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Well, if your case is settled, it's over because you got a check from them and you signed a release, and that brings it to an end. Okay. What your question is really properly directed to your former attorney. Let me just back up and say that when auto accident cases are resolved, they're resolved on a lump sum basis. So I'll give you an example. Let's say you had a case and you settled it for $1,000, right? Well, that $1,000 should be based on your injury and your medical expenses and your lost wages and other out-of-pocket expenses you can document. So your case is never going to be resolved on a basis where you get X dollars for your medical, Y dollars for your wages, and Z dollars for your injury. It just doesn't work like that. It's always one lump sum. But your wages are a very, very important part of the calculation of that lump sum. So your question is properly asked of your former attorney. Should ask him or her, were my wages part and parcel of this? If so, great. Then if not, there's really not much you can do about it now. Unless you wanted to make a claim against the attorney.
Yeah. Okay. Tony, thank you so much for your phone call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sherry, calling from College Park. Thanks for calling, Sherry. What's on your mind?
Oh, yeah. Oh, hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Go right ahead.
Okay. I was in an accident about a week or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on a Friday evening, about 7:30. It was raining. And so I was what they call T-bone. I just learned that term.
Right.
So it was on the residential street where the speed limit is 25, which nobody does 25. So actually I was coming out to make the left turn, and I didn't see the car coming, I guess maybe because it was dark and raining. So I was coming out to make the left, so they hit me.
Right.
So.
And they don't want to pay you.
I don't know yet.
Your car was turning?
Yeah, I was turning, and they were coming doing like 50, 40, 50.
I understand, but they were traveling the opposite direction, correct?
No, they were coming. They were coming the direction towards me.
I see.
Mm-hmm. But I was coming out.
Okay, but you were turning, and they were traveling straight.
Yes.
Okay, so you have the duty to yield the right of way.
Yes.
So even if you can prove that the other driver was negligent or careless,
speeding,
right? Then he or she has the right to prove that you were also negligent or careless. And under our laws, if you are you are careless in any way and your carelessness contributes to the occurrence of an accident, under our law, technically, you don't get any damages whatsoever. You're not entitled to recovery. That's unlike the rest of the United States, where it's a different system entirely. But for whatever reason, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia follow this very old rule. I'm sure it is. Do you have collision coverage with your insurer?
Yes.
Well, my advice to you is, and when did this happen? A week ago?
Yes.
Is your car in your rather at your house or apartment or in storage?
It's totaled. It's gone.
So it's already been disposed of?
Yes.
And who paid you for it?
The insurance I'm with.
So you made a collision claim, right, which is what I was going to tell you to do. And then your insurance carrier will try to get the money back that it paid you from the other driver's insurer.
Okay.
And that would also include your deductible. So I would suggest that you talk to your insurance adjuster about that, because they'll try to get the money back through something called intercompany arbitration. And that happens every day. And if they prevail, then they'll not only get what they paid you, but also get your deductible back as well.
Mm. Okay. Sherry?
Nobody I can sue as far as injuries for me.
Well, you could, but I'm not sure that you would prevail.
Oh, okay.
You follow me? Okay. So, I mean, you could call an attorney's office and give them the facts and have them give you an assessment. Feel free to call my office tomorrow. But based on what you're telling me, and again, I don't have all the details, but on the basic details you've shared with me, I don't think you have a right to recover.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, Sherry, thank you so
much
for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Mocha calling from D.C. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, and good evening, gentlemen.
Hello, Mocha.
I have a similar question. My daughter was in an accident night before last. She was sideswiped. She was on 50 going toward Maryland, coming out of D.C. off South Dakota Avenue. She runs into the wall, smashes the front of her car, and we think that it may be total, but this is what I'm really concerned about. We didn't get any information from the person who ran into them, although the police came on the scene. They took information from my daughter, driver's license, registration, and insurance. And I was there. She called me and told me to come. So I'm wondering what happened to the person who ran into her. Well, supposedly, police caught that person way down, further down 50. However, they didn't give us any information, insurance information, or anything from that person. So am I going to find that information on the police report, which is supposed to be ready in 3 days?
Did this happen in Maryland, D.C., or Virginia?
Maryland. It happened
and
on the Maryland side.
And was on 50 and not the Parkway, right?
It was on the Parkway.
Okay, so the 50, when I say Parkway, I mean BW Parkway, right?
Was it on BW Parkway or was it on 50 heading west?
We're coming off South Dakota Avenue off the ramp to the bridge, which says the next exit would be 295.
Right. So was it PG police or the park police?
It was the PG.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
It might be the park
goodness.
Police. But nonetheless.
It might have been the park police.
Let me answer your question. Let me ask you a few more questions. Did anyone leave the scene by ambulance?
No.
Okay. So you're going to have to file an FOIA, Freedom of Information Act request, if it was indeed the park police, with the park police. You can call their headquarters. They do this all the time. And if this person fled the scene and was apprehended down the road, the more likely than not, there's some kind of report, which should be publicly available to you, but you've got to follow their protocol for getting it. I have a case like that now where I got to wait 8 weeks to get a report, which is crazy, but it is what it is. Not every state and jurisdiction puts liability insurance information on the reports, and I can't tell you sitting here whether that information is on the park police report. But if you get a tag number and a VIN, you should
didn't
be able
to get any of it.
No, but if they have it, then you should be. And should they have that information, which they will have if they stop the vehicle, but should the report not have the insurance information for the other vehicle, right? Then you can use the tag number, particularly if it's Maryland. A little more difficult than D.C. and Virginia, but nonetheless, if it's Maryland, if you have the tag number and the VIN, you should be able to find the owner and the insurer for the vehicle, all right?
Okay.
But I come back again to the comment I made with the previous caller. Do you have collision coverage?
Yes, we do.
My advice to you is to use the collision. That's what you pay for. It's a luxury. It's like a cherry on top of the ice cream. You're not penalized for using it if you're not at fault. Sure, you got to pay your deductible, whatever that's set at, But this is a luxury coverage that you should have no reluctance whatsoever to use. You follow me?
Okay.
And they'll either pay, if the car is totaled, they'll pay the total value. If it's fixable, they'll pay the cost of repair. Then they'll try to get the money back from the other driver's insurer. And should they be successful, that will include your deductible.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay, I haven't reported it to my insurance company yet. I was waiting for the police report first.
Okay. Well, there's no harm in making a claim report.
Okay.
I made one last weekend because I was in a fender bender in a parking lot.
Whose fault was it?
I think it was mine, but we'll see what happens.
Okay. Tiffany, thank you so much.
But in any event, that's what you need to do, all right?
Thank you so much. Mocha, I should say. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We have Tiffany calling from Maryland.
Yeah.
Tiffany, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, what's going on?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
I'm good, thanks.
That's good. But 11 years ago, my mom, she got into a car accident because this lady was on her phone and she hit us from the back.
Yeah.
And me and my sister had went to the hospital and I was fine. I wasn't getting any pain or whatever. And the doctors kept asking if I was fine, if I was okay, and I kept saying, yeah, I was fine. And it happened on the Friday. But, mind you, I was 3 years old. I was in pre-K. So then the following Monday, I went to school, and somebody had called my name, and I turned back, and my neck had, like, cracked on me. It hurt so bad I started crying. So I didn't think nothing of it because it was the first time it ever happened. But it's been 11 years, and it has happened so many times. Like, it happens at least 5 times a year, sometimes 10 times a year. It happens so often now, and it hurts so bad. And it's gotten to the point where, like, my back hurts a lot now. My neck hurts.
Right. Let me ask you a question. How old are you?
She's 14 now.
I'm 13.
You're 13, so you're still a minor, okay?
Yes.
Have you been to a doctor about this?
No. That's the thing. Like, when I kept complaining about it, my mom just thought that I was just, complaining. She didn't really think nothing of it until, like, about 3 weeks ago, me and her got into a fight, and then I had told her.
Right. Let me answer your question.
Well, let's not get into any more fights, Tiffany, but let's see if the attorney can answer your question.
Let me give you some advice, okay? Number one, you might have this problem, but if there's no medical record of it, it might as well not exist. So if this is a frequent occurrence, as it sounds like it is, and you need to get medical attention so that it can be diagnosed, and so the doctor can, if possible, state that this is causally related to your auto accident of many years ago. Okay, that's number one. Number two, since you're a minor, right, the statute of limitations or the time limit which governs the period of time in which your claim must be either settled or filed in a lawsuit in a court doesn't start to run until you reach your 18th birthday. So the statute, which is normally 3 years in Maryland, right, for a case like this, won't begin to run until you turn 18, but it will terminate 3 years after your 18th birthday. So keep that in mind. But more importantly, perhaps, you need to get a diagnosis and some medical proof that this is, in fact, related to this trauma you had many years ago. Okay?
Right, and I told my mom about it, but she said since it happened so long ago, it doesn't make no sense going.
I understand. I don't want to second-guess your mom because she's your mom, but as a lawyer, that's my advice to you in response to your question.
Go to the doctor first and see where you can go from there.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Tiffany, thank you so much for your phone call. And remember, no more fighting. No more fighting.
Not like physical, but like an argument.
Yeah, well, nobody's got time for that either. So anyway, take care of yourself, Tiffany. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. So if someone gets into a car accident and they've gone through they've called their insurance company and they may have had some communication with the other insurance company. If the other insurance company calls you and tells you to settle or offers you a settlement, what do you do?
Well, it used to be, and it's changed some, but it still happens, that liability insurers will call victims of accidents rapidly, quickly after the accident occurs and offer them a settlement. And my advice is don't take the money, all right? Even if you don't think you're hurt, wait a month or two to make sure that you're not, all right? And then that would be an appropriate time to accept any, at least to talk about an offer, because they're always willing to pay you a little more if you negotiate with them. And certainly if you're hurt and they call you and offer you money, and I'm talking about your injury claim only because your property damage is different. If you're hurt, under no circumstances should you accept an early offer. You know, we all have – all our bodies are different. We all injure differently and we all heal differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's good, makes good sense, and it's good judgment to wait a little bit to make sure that you're okay. Because once you sign, it's over. There's nothing you can do.
What if you're not injured, but you're in an accident, and your vehicle is total, and let's say it's not your fault, it's the fault of the other driver, mm-hmm. and your vehicle is totaled, should the other insurance company replace it or pay it off? And I guess it's a two-part question, because what if you're driving a vehicle that is paid for?
Right. The other insurance company should, but it's not legally required to. The property damage laws stink. It's just that simple. As I said earlier, the measure of damage to a vehicle is the lesser of the market value or cost of repair. So if the value is less than the cost of repair, it's deemed a total loss. If the cost of repair is greater than the market value, it's deemed to be repairable. Under no circumstances does the law require the liability insurer to pay off your note if you owe money on the car, or to replace your vehicle. And people that have older cars with lots of miles that work well, that are great transportation, really suffer when their vehicle is damaged in an accident, because more likely than not it's going to be totaled. And the value is not going to be great, even though it may have good practical value for you. And under the law, it doesn't have great value. And they stroke you a check for whatever. And it's virtually impossible to buy a new car with what you get in circumstances like that. So the law is really, I mean, it's fundamentally unfair when it comes to damage to vehicles.
Do you recommend gap insurance?
Very much so. Gap is pretty common these days. Gap insurance is a form of insurance that's sold by the auto dealer when you buy the car. And what Gap does is Gap will pay the difference that you owe the lender, the bank, the finance company, the credit union, should your vehicle be totaled, and should the value of the car be less than what you owe the lender. So if the value is $1,000, you owe the lender $3,000, that's $2,000 difference, Gap will pay that. People that don't have Gap remain legally responsible for payment of that, even though their vehicle has been destroyed.
Mm. If somebody comes to, you know, to you or any other attorney, and they've been in a car accident, and we don't know what the circumstances are, do they pay you a retainer? How do you determine how you hire a lawyer in a case of an auto accident and personal injury?
Well, in injury claims, auto accidents, and really any other type of injury claim, you don't have to pay the attorney an attorney's fee in advance, nor do you have to pay what's commonly called a retainer. Instead, the cases like that are handled on what's called a contingent fee retainer basis, which means that you don't pay in advance, but when the case resolves, your attorney gets paid a percentage, typically a third, of the gross amount that you recover, plus his or her expenses, which are relatively routine expenses for getting police reports, medical records, and the like. So that's how my area of practice has worked my entire career. And it's really a very good fee basis, because it opens the courthouse doors for America.
What do you mean by that?
It means that it enables people who don't have the money to pay a retainer or don't want to pay a retainer, it enables them to get into the courthouse, right? Because the lawyer has agreed to work on the back end, if you will, to get paid when the case resolves. And it used to be that, you know, you needed $1,000 to hire an attorney. You don't need that anymore because of this fee basis.
Mm-hmm. So if you are hurt and let's say you're badly hurt, but not to a point where the injury is going to be
permanent.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so you break your arm, you break your leg, you fracture some ribs, and you're in good health and the like. Yeah, that kind of thing is going to require extensive medical care. So who pays for that while you're waiting on a settlement?
Good question. Liability insurers, in other words, the companies that insure the driver that caused your accident, right, are not required to pay you a dime, much less a penny, in advance of a resolution of your case. They're not health insurers. They're not disability insurers. So I've got many clients who are injured in an accident severely. They can't work. Right? they either have disability insurance through work or sick leave or something like that that they use to live on until they're able to return to work. And their medical expenses are generally paid for by their health insurers. And most folks either have private health insurance, they have Medicare, they have Medicaid, medical assistance, something like that. There are doctors who will treat you without prepayment for injuries suffered in accidents, with the understanding that they get paid off the top when the case resolves. Now, the only hedge there is that you can buy what's called personal injury protection insurance, which is like auto no-fault insurance, and it differs from state to state. But in Maryland, for instance, you can buy $2,500 minimum, $10,000 maximum of no-fault insurance that's available to pay accident-related medical expenses and accident-related medically certified lost wages up to the limit of your coverage now, rather than waiting until your case is resolved. In D.C., it's different because D.C.'s had a no-fault law since the mid-70s, and you can buy much more generous coverage, no-fault coverage. It's kind of like medical insurance and disability insurance. The only problem is that if you buy that coverage and you use it, it limits your right to make a claim against the person that caused the accident.
Oh, my, that gets complicated.
And the other problem is that the medical benefit is secondary to your health insurance, so it's really kind of meaningless. Right, if you have health insurance, then your auto-related medical coverage doesn't kick in.
This happened to me, and where I was hit mm-hmm. by a police officer in my car, brand new car, 29 days old, and he came to me. He did not have his siren on. He didn't have his lights on or anything like that. And my car was totaled. He failed to yield. He ran a red light, and he hit me. I was not injured, but it took forever mm-hmm. to settle that case. And one of the things that he said. You'll appreciate this. He came to the he came to my window and he said to me, he said, "Have you been drinking?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "What and how much?" And I said, "I had a glass of Kool-Aid before I left D.C. to come to Baltimore, and I held my tongue out and it was red." And he went, "Oh," and then there was a colorful metaphor that came from that. My question is, when involved in accidents with municipalities, whether it's police, fire, or public works, is that different than
yes.
how and how so?
Well, it's very much different because most governmental entities, whether it's a city, a county, a state, are self-insured. So it's not like dealing with a large auto liability insurer, which is not self-insured, which is in the business of paying claims. So the whole process is delayed. It can take months. You know, you have an auto accident with a large major auto insurer. They have claims adjusters that are on the phone to you immediately, right? More often than not, your car is in the shop quickly. You're in a rental car, so on and so on and so on. Doesn't work that way with governmental entities because they're just not set up that way. They're self-insured. A lot of them use third-party claims administrators, in other words, third-party adjustment companies, but many don't. And whether they do or not, the process just takes a lot longer.
Because of bureaucracy?
Bureaucracy, yes. Bureaucracy. Yeah. And the payment of money has got to be approved. There's a lengthy, lengthy process. So if you're unlucky enough to have that happen to you, that's a great time to use your collision coverage if you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you don't have to wait. You've paid for this luxury, right? But that's just how it is with governmental entities.
Final thoughts. I have one or two minutes left. What is the worst thing that people do when they get into a car accident?
The worst thing they do is leave the scene without any information whatsoever about the other party. Because without that information, you really can't make a successful claim.
Wow.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
And folks do that, even in this day and age. When I said use your cell phone, that's to photograph the other driver's license, registration, insurance card. You have pictures right there. If you have to write it down, it's difficult for me, maybe not for other folks, but that's one of the advantages of the modern cell phone era. You can do that. But that's the worst thing folks do, is leave the scene without that information. Secondly, moving their cars before They should, especially if the police come, right? And again, in the cell phone era, you can photograph the position of the cars, you can photograph the damage, and anything else you need to photograph. Another common mistake is leaving the scene without getting any witnesses. Should they be there to be identified? Sometimes folks really have no control over this because they leave the scene by ambulance. But if you don't, then you have the opportunity to get this information, which is very important.
Andy Betterman with Greenberg and Betterman, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us. Very, very interesting, great information, and certainly, as always, the information will be posted on our website on WHUR.com tonight after 9 o'clock, as well as the podcast. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141, for this Tuesday, March 12th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.